Good.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. And if you're a visitor, you may wish to sign our visitor's book. Kirk Session. There will be a joint meeting of our Kirk Session with the Kirk Session of Limekilns Church on Friday the 18th of August at 7:30 p.m. in Limekilns Church. Members of Kirk Session, please advise the clerks as soon as possible whether you are able to attend. Eternity Discussion Group. Our discussion group will begin its next series of meetings on Tuesday the 22nd August at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room, meeting fortnightly thereafter. We will be looking at the Old Testament books of Jonah, Joel and Amos using a Life Builder study resource. All welcome. Contact Derek for information. Family Cinema Afternoon and Summer Barbecue. We are holding a family film show followed by a barbecue on Thursday 10th of August at 3 p.m. The film is Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and the entry is free with a suggested donation of £3 for the film, a suggested donation of £2 for the burgers and hot dogs, and there will be tea, coffee and juice also available. You can register to attend via the church's Facebook account or contact George White on 07949 596 559, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now, following a meeting on Wednesday night, I would suggest you get your names in quickly because the places for them, the numbers are filling up. Thank you.
Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, we offer to you of our gifts, gifts of time, talent and money. Bless our giving so that it glorifies you and brings praise to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayers of adoration and confession. Alistair is leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Heavenly Father, we cannot praise you enough for your love for us. A love beyond measure, a love which floods our souls. If truth be told, we cannot comprehend your love, for we know we don't deserve it. Yet you love us so much, you gave us Jesus, who bled and died on that cross to pay the price to set us free. Let us never forget your love lavished upon us. Let us never cease to sing your praise. For in time we will be praising you forever as we meet with Jesus face to face. Let us take in that truth, the truth that each one of us is the apple of your eye. For in so many ways you show us the wonders of your great love. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Yes, Lord, we live in a guilty world, and we confess our part in that. Lord, help us to face the truth about ourselves. Help us to hear our words as others hear them, to see ourselves as others see us. Let us be honest enough to recognize our impatience and conceit. Let us recognize our selfishness and anger. Give us sufficient humility to accept our own weaknesses for what they are. Give us the grace, at least in your presence, to say, I was wrong, forgive me. Kiss us with your peace and perfect justice. Forgive us, Lord. O Lord of heaven and earth, bless the worship of your church in this place, that we may hear the living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hear us as we now join together in saying these words of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song. Our New Testament reading today is the very well-known story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The passage begins by saying, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So setting the scene obviously brings the question, why was he going to that solitary place? The answer to the question is that preceding this passage in Matthew's Gospel, we have the story of Herod having John the Baptist arrested and executed. The way that that story is told, it would seem that it has taken time for the news to reach Jesus and his disciples. In our time, that seems a bit strange because we are used to almost instant news. We see things happening in the world almost in real time. But Jesus is in Galilee. He's teaching in the area where he grew up. And it takes time for the news from Jerusalem to reach Galilee. The story of John being executed by Herod is introduced with a statement that Herod thinks that Jesus is John resurrected. So obviously it has taken a wee while for things about Jesus to reach Herod in Jerusalem. No doubt someone has told Herod that Jesus is proclaiming the same message. And possibly that some of those folk who are following Jesus had originally followed John. So he makes that association. That story, of course, brings an added element of threat as well as grief to the story of Jesus seeking a quiet place. For Jesus, John is a close relative, as well as the one who was his forerunner, the one who introduced the idea that the kingdom of heaven was near and that God's promised Messiah was to come. Quite a number of Jesus' disciples were sent by John to Jesus. So it's no great surprise that Jesus needs time away from the crowd. He needs some time out. Not just for himself, but also for his disciples, because some of them would be grieving for the man that they knew. And there must have been a real fear that what the authorities did to silence John, they might also try to do to silence Jesus. Jesus needs time for himself and time for his disciples. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the suggested readings for this Sunday of the year. Another of the readings suggested is from the Psalms, part of Psalm 17. The beginning of Psalm 17 is a prayer. David declares his faithfulness and asks for God's presence and blessing. And the reason that is given in that psalm, were we to read the whole of the psalm, is that he's surrounded by enemies. In the run-up to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, we've heard that Jesus is opposed by the religious authorities in Jerusalem. He has been rejected by the people who knew him best. He'd gone to his hometown and they didn't want to hear. And now the man that Jesus had described as the greatest of the prophets had been killed. Jesus must have been in that place where he felt surrounded by enemies. And so to our readings. Rosemary is going to read to us from Psalm 17 and then the familiar words of the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew's Gospel.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 17, verses 1 to 8. show the wonder of your love. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Our second reading is from Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Hymn 550, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Oh,
That's an easy one to get the introduction wrong, because the two lines are very similar. Now, it just so happens that many years ago, I think in the evening services that were called On Fire, which is about 20-odd years ago, the band were playing a song that had a lot of very similar phrases in it, and I had been speaking to someone as the service started. So this was a piece of music just to say, we're about to start. So I dashed across, picked up my instrument and started to play. The only thing is, because there were a lot of similar phrases, I started in the wrong place. And the organist at the time stopped playing, looked at me, hit me, and then went back to playing. I didn't know that happened to ministers. And that's a good, actually, introduction to what I'm about to say. An instructor in martial arts was speaking about action films, and I'm sure many of us will have seen these, or if you're like my wife, if you're like Karen, just put it off. It's rubbish. She's not into violence at all. I call them boy films. And yes, I do go and watch things like James Bond and whatever. What this individual was keen to point out was that when we watch those fight sequences, they are fiction. In many of these films, the hero or heroine is in the middle of something, and people get hit multiple times and yet are able to carry on. The fight sequences may be exciting in terms of watching a film, but they are not reality. What was pointed out by this individual, who was an expert, was that the blows that are supposedly received and the person just shrugs it off would in reality completely incapacitate that person. What the individual was trying to explain is that there is a real difference between fact and fiction, between reality and what we see in film and television. Real people do heroic things in the real world. But we must remember that these are real people and not fictional characters. There is a children's song, a Christian song that says, God's people aren't super brave superheroes. It's one of many of those songs where I struggle to do both the actions and the words. I'm not very good at that. So, I think it's super brave superheroes. So, there you go. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded of the humanity of the biblical heroes. This applies to all of God's people. But the great men and women of the Bible are presented as very real people. They are often recognized as much for their frailties as they are for their successes. They are celebrated for their faith and not because they are perfect. It's very hard to think of a biblical character that is not deeply flawed in one way or another. And that includes King David, who wrote the psalm that we read. It almost seems that God goes out of his way to choose the most unlikely of people to fulfill his purposes. And certainly when we look at Jesus' disciples, they are deeply flawed individuals. Maybe we could say, well, there wasn't a choice, because we are all imperfect. When talking about our human imperfections, we will sometimes hear a saying. It's maybe not used as much now as it once was, but it's often used when someone says, I got it wrong. And folk will say, well, there was only one perfect man, meaning, of course, Jesus. We can can sometimes think of Jesus as not just a hero, but a superhero. A man with powers beyond anything natural. But when we picture Jesus as a superhero, we have someone who is not vulnerable like we are vulnerable. We can picture Jesus a bit like Superman, the superhero disguised. If you watch those films, or if you've read the comics or whatever, you'll know that underneath the clothing of Clark Kent lies Superman, and the clothing simply hides or disguises who he really is. When we do this with Jesus, we contradict one of the key messages of the New Testament, that Jesus is as fully human as we are human, that he is flesh of our flesh. The story we read from Matthew's Gospel, we know as Jesus feeds the 5,000. And in the version of the Bible that we use, and in many of the versions that put in little headings for passages, that is the heading for that passage. Jesus feeds the 5,000. We can very easily marvel at Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We can be astounded that there are 12 baskets of leftovers. We can read the story as if it were just about Jesus performing a great miracle. If we read the story in John's Gospel, just shortly after the miracle, Jesus accuses the people of following him because they saw the miracle and they were fed. Not because they want the true bread of heaven, not because they want something spiritual. Matthew tells the story of this miracle, remembering Jesus in his humanity. The reason they are in a solitary place is because Jesus needs time away from the crowd. The reason the crowd are in that solitary place is that they need Jesus. The setting is of a shared humanity. In some ways, everything is going wrong. Not just the fact that Jesus wanted a bit of peace and quiet and the crowd are there, but for Jesus and his disciples, everything is going wrong. If you start flicking back in the gospel, you find that the religious authorities in Jerusalem question and doubt Jesus. Those who should have recognized him, those who knew most, fail to think of Jesus as anything other than a scruffy prophet from Galilee. In Galilee, the people who had grown up with Jesus have dismissed him. He went back to his hometown and he couldn't perform a miracle because the people just wouldn't believe what he was saying. There's a good Scottish phrase in there. Aye, I kent your feather. And then he hears that his closest ally in terms of proclaiming the kingdom of heaven has been executed by earthly authority. Everything is going wrong. And if you think that Jesus' humanity is real, did he experience doubt? Is he right? It is interesting that the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, each of those temptations begins, "If you are the Son of God." Did Jesus doubt? A very human Jesus seeks a solitary place. But getting there, he finds that the crowd have reached there first. Of course, they knew the lake as well as Jesus' disciples and Jesus, so they knew where the boat was likely to land, and they could probably walk as fast as that boat could move. Seeing the crowd, Jesus responds with compassion. I've always read and understood this passage as showing a godly care for the people, that Jesus' heart goes out to them. And I think that is true. But as I read that story, I did wonder if in some way that crowd were the Father's gift to Jesus. Sometimes when we are troubled and feeling useless and ineffective, filled with doubt, the cure is when people tell us that we are needed and that we have something of value to offer. The crowd need Jesus. But maybe Jesus needs the crowd. And so Jesus heals the sick and tells them of the kingdom of heaven. But as time goes on, the need becomes less spiritual and more physical. The disciples notice the practical implications of where they are. They suggest a prudent course of action. The people need to go and find something to eat. And then we have that very strange answer from Jesus. Jesus' answer is, they don't need to go anywhere, you feed them. And you can imagine if we were faced with a crowd of people. Well, just suppose on that day of the family film followed by the barbecue and George is busy doing the barbecue and 5,000 people turn up. And George says a prayer because he's only got 5 buns and 2 burgers left. And he hears the voice of Jesus. Well, you feed them, George. When you see that story, they remember. They remember it all the versions of that story. They remember that they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, we've not got anything. How are we going to do this? And Jesus takes what they have and provides, because of course it was a question of faith in him, and there are leftovers. At many different levels, this is a story about the wrong place, the wrong moment, and the wrong amount of resource. And if you read that in today's church, you cannot but think of where we are as church. You know, sometimes we feel we're in the wrong place because in our secular and materialist society, church and faith have been pushed to the margins. We're told we've not got anything that people want. By human wisdom, we've got to say, well, we maybe don't have enough. And so why waste what little you have? The people will have to go somewhere else. I found a quotation by Arthur Ashe that says, start where you are, do what you can, use what you have. We have no other place to be than here. God will not judge us for doing what we cannot do, but we might be judged for not doing what we can. And when we use what we have, what we need to remember is that this is for the Church of Christ. This is about the God of miracles. So when we use what we have, it is important that we trust in God. Just as the disciples handed over nothing to Jesus and he fed the crowd, the church of today may feel we've got less resource than we need, but that's more than enough for God to produce a great miracle. So, start where we are. Do what we can. Use what we have. But remember, this is the Church of Christ, and we believe in the God of miracles. Amen. We sing now hymn number 502. Take my life, Lord, let it be. Now our prayers for other people.
Let us pray. Father, you have given us so much. Give one thing more: grateful hearts. Not thankful when it pleases us, as if your blessings had days off, but hearts whose every pulse may be your praise. Lord, we give you thanks for those among your people whom you have gifted as healers of our minds and bodies. We pray that you'll anoint and guide Christian doctors, nurses, and other clinicians around the world who administer healing in your name. We ask that you will grant energy and resilience, especially for those who work in lands of persecution, and may they serve their suffering brothers and sisters, sacrificially imitating the physician of our souls. We pray for those seeking freedom from addictions, There are many things which can become hard to control or stop to the point where it could be harmful. Gambling, pornography, self-harm, alcohol and substance misuse, excessive internet use and gaming, or even too much unhealthy food, as apparently we are reaching an obesity crisis in Scotland. Please help people living with an addiction to have the strength to seek help and identify its underlying causes through counselling, medical and psychiatric care, recovery groups, friends and family. And above all, may they call on you for mercy and healing. We ask that palliative and hospice care may become a bigger priority, for Scotland to become a place that more deeply invests in end-of-life care by palliative experts. May new and abundant sources of funding for hospice and community care be secured. We pray for those in authority to greatly improve access to palliative care, to provide all patients with much needed help earlier in their illness. May more hospices be established so that holistic and palliative care may be available for everyone who needs it, offering a peaceful and compassionate atmosphere. We continue to pray for the future of our church in the context of the West Fife Villages churches. Father, you know the difficult decisions we have to make. There have been meetings about meetings, proposals and counter-proposals, possible plans and programmes. There are some who have a clear idea of what might work, and others who feel overwhelmed just thinking through the pros and cons. We want to do what is right, not for ourselves individually, not even for our church, but what is right for you. You promise that you will build your church, and we acknowledge that Jesus is the head of the church. May we keep him at the centre, and may he guide us as we seek to follow him. Father, we now bring you our own personal prayers in the silence of this moment. Prayers for those in need of your loving care at this time. So, Father, we bring you all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.